Hi, I'm Sean Nolan, and for the final time, this is What I'm Grateful For Today. Hi everyone, I thought I should probably take a moment to explain to you all why this is the final episode, where I've been for the past year, and different things like that. So I started this podcast in the second lockdown, just when I'd started having a really difficult time during COVID. There was a massive change in my life coming where I was going to have to be living to help shelter people from COVID and things like that. And it was most definitely the darkest period of my life so far, up until this point. Not until this point. I'm thankfully feeling a lot better now, but I mean, it's the darkest period of my life that I've ever experienced thus far. And I really needed something to give me hope. And my friend Christine, who was on an episode of this podcast, had suggested to me, why don't I do a podcast? Because I've done many before. This is my fifth podcast I've ever done. And it was a way of having structure, feeling like I was working towards something, but also not being all too taxing. So my grandma and I used to play a game a lot called What I'm Grateful For Today. And when we'd have dinner, we'd each list off three things that we were feeling grateful for on that day. And I thought that would be a brilliant subject for a podcast. It would be great fun for other guests to have to stop for a while and think about what they're grateful for, making it as specific as possible. But I also thought it would be great for listeners to sit there and gestate the thoughts of what other people were saying, what they would also be grateful for, and things like that. So I started the podcast, it went very well, and I did three seasons of it, and I personally found it incredibly enlightening. I mean, I can't wait to go back and listen, really, to some of the earlier episodes, because from my personal perspective, it feels a little bit like a diary. It feels like it's a chart of where my emotions have gone over the past 2 years of my life, and where I am now, where I was once before, how I was in those dark moments, and what made me smile. So the last episode I released was just over a year ago. It was at the end of July. It was the end of our third season, because I'd been running it pretty regularly with the season gaps as I intended to. And that was an episode with my boyfriend Ryan, just after our first anniversary. And I said to myself, right, great, we'll come back for a new season in, I can't remember, the end of September or the start of October, whenever it was about a year since we'd started the show. And I thought, well, that would go well. And then I had a really good summer. And I started to kind of pick up in mood, because at that time I'd moved back home with grandma and we were living well together and things like that. And COVID was relaxing, so therefore life felt like it was opening up again. And I just didn't really feel like I had anything to say yet. So I decided I'll postpone this series of the podcast. I'll wait a few more months. I'll get on the other side of this project. And I accepted a commission for a play, so I was busy writing that. And then time went on and on and on, and it got to the new year. And I thought, this is a great time to start doing it. And it was at that moment when I started to think, I'm not sure if I need this show anymore. I'm not sure if personally I need it to feel better about my life, which was at the end of the day the main driving force. It was wonderful that so many people engaged with this, thousands of listens. It's been unbelievably overwhelming how popular this show has been, and the messages I've received saying that it's really helped people and affected them in positive ways. But for me, it would be disingenuous to do it without there being some sort of personal benefit, because that was what it was set up as being in the first place and how I've always framed it. And a few months after that, just so I was deciding maybe I will get started on a new season, Ryan and I came into a situation where we could move into our own home, which I'm currently sat inside of, and that's wonderful. And with that came more restrictions lifting and life coming more back to normal and my normal mojo returning for the first time really since, you know, 2.5 years ago. And I felt brilliant. I'm really happy to say that I feel so much brighter, so much more back to normal. But I mean, I hate to use such a buzz term, but like a new normal. I don't mean it in the sense of COVID. I mean it more in the sense of self. I mean, I'm 23 years old now. I started this show, well, before COVID. I literally just turned 21 a few weeks before. But the age thing's kind of irrelevant. I still felt like, considering I didn't go to uni, I was in a hangover of my teenage years. And I explained this more, actually, in this week's episode of the podcast. And now on the other side of COVID, all right, we're not on the true other side of it, but on the other side of lockdowns and restrictions, at least in England, and what feels like the most intense parts of life restriction due to COVID, I feel like a new person. I feel like I have the same zest for life as I did before, but in a new, measured, adult, mature way, which I'm really happy to say is true. So I didn't want to leave the podcast on a cliffhanger with the final episode of season 3 last summer. So when I came to the decision that I needed to let the podcast go, move on to new things, especially as I'm coming to a new phase of my life, I thought I wanted to do a final episode. And today I decided I would sit back down with Mikaela McDade, who many people know online from now her name, but previously being Miss Budget Beauty, and with Simon, who was once part of the Breaker Leggers. We discussed all of that in our podcast. It was great to have them back together. We sat down as a trio before for an episode at the end of 2020 to look back on the year, and both of them have also been on separately in their own episodes in the first season. So I'm really happy we got to sit back down again. We had a great chin wag. It definitely goes off the rails at many points, just about random conversations, but I hope you enjoy sitting down and having one final listen to some things that I'm feeling grateful for today. Thank you very much, listeners, for sticking with me for all of this time, and I hope you stick with me through other projects as well. I wish you all the best. Hello, both of you.
Hello.
How are you doing? Kyla, we'll go with you first.
I'm doing okay. Very, very warm today.
Very warm today. And you, Simon?
Yes, perpetually sweaty. And surprised to be back with you on this podcast.
Well, so am I, because for the longest time I thought, well, that was outdone. But clearly that's not the case. No, I would have already said an introduction before this, I'm sure, in great detail. But I wanted to come back with a final episode with people that were stimulating conversations we've had before. And around Christmas time, we were supposed to have done a special episode looking back on 2021, because we'd done that at the end of 2020, hadn't we? This is our second conversation as a trio, I think. And each of you have been on once before that as well. And I just thought it would be nice to come back together and talk about things in a similar retrospective way with our topic today, which is looking back at things that we are grateful to the pandemic for having given to us, which is essentially the major broad question of what this entire show was always about. It was set up, obviously, during the lockdown. I think it was set up in the middle of lockdown two, I think, or the very start of the second lockdown, where we literally couldn't go anywhere, and looking for things that would bring us joy in those moments. Now I want to look back on a macro scale and have a look at really what each of us feel grateful for having happened over the past 2 years in our lives. Because I don't know about you two, but like if you told me whenever this all started, I don't know, 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, what my life would look like today, I would have been very confused as to how I'd made the journey in such a short amount of time through so many different loopholes. So
I'm feeling I really am feeling
100%. It's weird.
I don't recognize myself. Like,
yeah, you know, I really
it's
don't.
It's almost like, you know, when they say if you went to the future, you wouldn't recognize like technology, the whole landscape would be entirely different. That's how I look at my life post-pandemic.
Yeah, I feel like we're in like Back to the Future 4 sometimes. And I feel like we're doing like a Simpson-style prediction of what the future would have been. And it's not necessarily what I would have imagined it had been. I'm also in no way complaining, hence the gratitude thing. So, Kyla, let's start with you. Let's talk through your different things you're grateful for, and we'll just see where our conversation goes rolling.
Well, I mean, just as a bonus, I'm now going to change my Instagram bio to stimulating conversationalist.
That's the tagline for the ages, that one.
Just about the best thing anyone's ever said about me. But I have got a theme somewhat for my gratitude list, and it is freedoms. And mostly, I suppose, kind of freedoms I didn't appreciate before. They're not specifically pandemic related, but they kind of are. I think I spoke about this. I probably should have re-listened to our episode before we started recording this, because I have no idea what I was grateful for then. But I probably mentioned something about living with my parents, because I think they still lived with us at that point. I was very grateful to have lived with my parents through the beginning of the pandemic, because it meant that we never had that issue of, you know, when people couldn't see their families and stuff, we were all together, which is great. But, you know, obviously there's negatives to that as well, because there were a lot of people in this house all the time. And so since then, in 2021, my parents moved, and they are in their own house now. And I could not be more grateful for our own space and just basic stuff that we did not appreciate before. Having your own kitchen, being able to just like walk around the house and no one else be there, like actually being on my own in the house from time to time is incredible.
Yeah, just that freedom of that space to just clarity and not have to worry about everyone else. If you're anything like me, a perpetual people pleaser as well. So you always feel like you've got to be serving somebody if they're there, which is no way to relax, love. It's no way to relax.
No, I'm also in a situation because I am like that. I'm sure other people don't believe I'm like that, but I am. At your core, you're kind of always concerned about how everybody else is feeling, and you can't necessarily make everybody else happy. And so you're just stressing yourself out all the time. You're kind of like in the middle of, well, spinning all of these plates. And that's definitely how it felt, having everybody under one roof. And then during the pandemic, that became exponentially more difficult, but also was great all at the same time. So I just so appreciate, you know, just like decorating, having more space in the house, but just being able to just like go in the garden, it not feel like it's a shared space.
Yeah, I've totally got a question about, like, I can imagine a lot of people through lockdown found themselves in unfortunate situations where they might have had to have moved in with their parents. But how does it change the dynamic when your parents move in with you? Is there a power struggle there?
Well, that's a really good question. The situation was more, we kind of moved in together. So we all moved into the house all at the same time with a view to eventually my mum and dad were going to find their own place after a period of time, whether it meant that we were all going to go our separate ways or we were going to stay, I didn't know. But it was like a 5-year plan that kind of saw them through to retirement and saw us through to my eldest being a teenager and kind of an awkward period in terms of like
parenting,
you know. Yeah, exactly. So so it kind of was supposed to work for us both or us all in that situation. But for sure, there was a strange dynamic because ultimately, I'm still the child in my dynamic with my parents. And so like, if I'm cleaning the house, there's a comment because it's like, well, you weren't tidy when you were a child. So stupid. But like, not negative, nothing like, you know, you would never mean to, but it's something that you're not.
Drags you back to that perpetual child. Like, you know, I'm being parented again. Like, I'm a grown bloody adult. That's what I've been thinking.
That must be so weird as well if you're also a parent in the same moment. Like, as in, obviously, you're always a parent, but like your child also in the house. So, like, you're somehow the child and the parent at the same time.
Yes. And to have your parenting witnessed 24/7
by your parent.
Again, they are
criticized internally.
Yeah. They would never comment. But you can feel
the judgment.
You can feel internal comments.
Yes, I must say the one thing I've only ever heard from people who have children are that the constant, if not a comment, the constant clear judgment from their parents of their own parenting. And it just gets like a whole dynamic struggle. So the idea of having to live with that, and especially during lockdown constantly, I can imagine would have been a pressure. It's funny you making that point about your living situation, because I mean, we all live in different situations currently when recording this to where we were at the start of the pandemic, and all kind of in spaces now that we have ownership over. I would say I've had a similar kind of loophole. I mean, this is the first time I've ever lived. I have probably haven't mentioned this at all on the podcast, I suppose, maybe in the intro or not. But now I live in my own house with my boyfriend, which is the first time I've ever not lived with a family member in my whole life, which is obviously quite a big, which is exciting. Yeah, I know. Which is something
a big
also,
step.
It's one of those big steps that until you've done it, you don't realize, like, the mountain always felt really big. The idea of moving out, not necessarily the act of doing it, maybe in part the act of doing it, but also the financials of it and everything else that comes with it. Like, it just seemed overwhelming, the idea of jumping into, you know, running your own life. But anyway, on the other side of it, it seems relatively easy looking backwards, but it wasn't. But I agree with you about ownership over your space, because this is one of the things I'm grateful for, which is it transitions kind of your phase of life, obviously, but it really does. Like, I didn't realize how much it does, and how much when you haven't got that constant sense of like other people around, or, you know, living with family or living with parents or grandparents, whatever I've done over the past few years, you don't realize now how much autonomy you have over your own life. Like, I didn't realize really until now that, like, in the daytimes, for example, my boyfriend's off at work all day, so I can just do whatever I like, and no one has any idea what I'm doing. You know, as long as I get all the bits I need to do done, like no one has any idea what I'm up to. And it's quite liberating to have that sense. And as you said about decorating and autonomy over your own space and what you want to go where, and oh, this is important to me, so I want this in the house, so it's going to be in the house. And I mean, you're still obviously liaising with a partner or whatever else, but in reality, like it's not, it's
Sean, liaising with a partner.
Listen, you made this into a real business relationship, this getting a house together, haven't you? We'll just liaise over that.
Well, liaising with a partner is just because I'm trying to use like polite terminology, which is normally that I'm like, this would be good. And he's like, okay, well, okay. So we just have that.
Can we liaise over dinner?
Yeah, but I'm trying to be polite for the sense of an audience to make it not sound like I'm some sort of dictator, which I'm not. I just normally have an idea. My boyfriend has a little idea. So he's just like, yeah, fine, we'll do that. That seems to work. So it works well for me.
You've made a really good point there, saying like when your boyfriend's out, you can do what your own thing. And that was something that was taken away from us in the pandemic. It's a sort of a freedom from each other, which I think is a real thing to be appreciated, because absence makes the heart Jane Fonda, as we also know. and that was, I think that really put strain on my relationship ultimately, that spending too much time together, that saturation, that not having the freedom to leave, to go out and to enjoy life to its fullest when lockdown was in place, and you know, the uncertainty and that things were closed. And it ultimately, it puts so much strain. You know, there are many, many documented cases where the pandemic has caused relationship breakdowns because of that oversaturation. But I do feel like we basically had 10 years of relationship in my last relationship within 2.5 years, like the amount of time that we spent together. So even though that relationship has subsequently ended, we were together for nearly 10 years. We were really together for 20, if you count the pandemic, because we had no freedom to be ourselves, for self-expression, to go out and to do our own things with our own friends independently, which is so vital for a healthy relationship. And now we've got that back, okay, I'm on my own, but it is giving me a wonderful opportunity to almost reinvent myself, you know, and to just find out who I am personally. And that's what I'm really grateful for. I'm grateful for the opportunity for new beginnings. I'm really appreciating how Madonna, with every album, just completely reinvents herself, because I'm on a new album and I'm totally Madonna.
I totally feel that. You know, you say the new album thing, that's so funny, because I felt that thinking recently about my life. I'm coming up to about 5 years, in September will have been 5 years since I did my web series, which was the first summer just after I'd left school. So it would have been 5 years since I left school. And I felt like that was such a specific phase of time inside of my life, that it's now that I kind of moved out and other bits of life happened and the pandemic's kind of calmed down and we're post-lockdowns, I feel like I'm on a whole new phase of existence. And I would say that's one thing, looking back in retrospect, even though the times of the pandemic were hard, it's kind of forced, like pushed me out the other side to start some kind of new life, which I think is really liberating, I suppose, especially when for a long time, maybe you don't realize it, but you feel like you needed that time to reboot. I never felt like when I left school, I was immediately going on to a new phase of life. It felt very much like everyone else just, because I didn't go to university at the time and all my friends did. So everyone dispersed. And I felt like I just kept living life, and I was trying to change and everything like that, and I couldn't seem to get life to kind of shift into a new gear of adulthood for me. Whereas I feel like, strangely, the pandemic did do that.
That's so crazy, because I feel totally the opposite about university. I was gonna say something to Simon, and now you've just thrown me a curveball. I could not feel more differently, because I didn't go to university, and I was the only one of my, I have very few, I've got like one friend from school who lives in London, so we barely ever see each other. Other than that, I didn't really keep in touch with people, because I left and got a job, and I felt like the people that went to university that I knew, when I saw them again, they were 21. I'd lived a life. Like, by the time they finished university, I'd been working for 4 years. I had a mortgage and a baby. I was like 40. I had a completely different, and it's my experience that staying in university keeps you a child for longer.
That bubble of academia, which is safety and structure, and everyone else making decisions for you, ultimately isn't healthy. You think how much self-development, yes, you can have academic development within that period, but how much self-development can you have if you ultimately aren't in charge of your own whereabouts? You know, you need to be here at this time, you need to hand in this. You're still being parented throughout that period. You know, I didn't go to university, and for a long time I was almost a bit bitter about it, but now I look back on it as, gosh, I was so more rounded as a person compared to my friends who came out of the university and still couldn't. Yes, they'd lived on their own, but they still weren't really in the real world, you know.
I mean, it all evens out by the time you get to 30. It doesn't matter. That's but true. At that period in time, because it's such a small, you know, from 16 to 26, you're a completely different person. But if you've gone to university, you're slightly less of a different person, I think, than if you've had...
I'd completely agree with what you're both saying. I 100% agree with, like, literally every comment you've just made. I think maybe it's something to do with what I was looking for to make myself feel like I was an adult. Because I'd say there were a lot of things that happened within those few years when everyone was at university where I felt maybe a more emotionally mature, because I feel like I'd had, like, almost like exposure therapy to being an adult in some respects. And I'd done lots of things. I'd taken a play to Edinburgh in the time, which felt... I mean, I was only 19 when I did that, and that felt like insanely massive. People had just finished their first year of uni and things like that. Those things felt great, but then I still didn't do those and then feel like, oh, I've achieved as much as them. I think maybe it was to do with, or maybe the grass was greener on the other side, but it was the idea that they'd gone somewhere, that they'd moved, they were living somewhere else, whereas I just kind of felt a bit like I was just circling the drain a little bit, I think.
It sounds like societal pressure to me, Sean.
I think it definitely was, but it was 100%. 100%
subscribe to that crap.
I would agree.
Well, if this is something you'll look back at, see, currently I feel like at the age that you're at, you're kind of still in that period. Mm-hmm. Whereas in 10 years, you'll look back and go, oh, well, it was this, with a little distance between it. You'll be able to see how much you grew in that time.
Yeah, I definitely think it was definitely societal pressure. I mean, that was the whole thing of going to uni, is quite a lot of the time, was, at least at high school, was very much societal pressure. And I thought I'd abstain from that. And then I think you're right, in many years to come, I'll probably get over the thought of it. But I do think sometimes I feel like, oh, maybe I missed out on something there. Maybe there was something I slightly missed out on, be it extend. Maybe I missed out a little bit on extending the school time, because I feel like everyone made new friends and they had a good time for a few years and everyone went to uni. So I just didn't really have any friends at home for months on end. I just kind of was just sat with myself really until people came home from uni. And sometimes I feel like maybe I wouldn't have clip my wings as much as I thought I would have done had I gone to university. Having said that, my friends went to university. It means the last 6 months of their uni experience was in the first lockdown. So I suppose maybe dodged a bullet. And now I am doing a degree at home and part-time, but I'm going on to my third year of doing a degree now. So I suppose maybe it all comes around in circles. So
totally. Well, like Simon, I've had that thing of in the back of my mind. I didn't even do A-levels. I could not have been less interested in further education. But I have a chip on my shoulder about people thinking I'm stupid. And I would love a degree just to say, well, I went to university. It wouldn't make me a smarter person, but it seems to be something that so many people of our age, it was just the thing. Tony Blair wanted everyone to go to university. It was a thing. And so it's really abnormal for people of my age to not have a degree. And it definitely made me feel, you know, a certain kind of way. But my husband is just been accepted into university, that he is doing a degree through work. He never got any A-levels, but because he's old, he has got like work experience, and someone's
that's called experiential like entry requirements. That's even better. So
exactly,
you know,
I had no idea that was a real thing. So legitimately you can go back later and do something in the field that you're truly interested in and not need any of that.
And better than that, when you're doing it with an employer, chances are they're paying for it. Hello, goodbye student debt.
Okay, we were unceremoniously cut off there by the fact that I no longer have Zoom Premium because none of us use Zoom anymore. And in the interim, we were talking about something that can lead quite nicely into Kyla's next point, which is, has anyone ever heard of Wenzel's? We've soon realised that Greggs is the only nationwide baker's, and that all of us from different parts of the country have different other chains of bakers. Anyway, links nicely into what Kyla was saying, which is going to... doesn't
How are you going to get from... I'm looking forward to this link because she's going to... I'm so looking for... I'm strapping in for this link.
I used to be so good at tying things together on this, and I haven't done it.
Segue.
Segue. So let's just aggressively cut into it, Kyla. What was the next one?
Just aggressively. We're not even. So
a
anyway.
Jump cut.
Yeah, it didn't even tie in even slightly, Sean. Like, I mean, we could maybe say the pandemic closed all of these things, and now I'm glad the restrictions are over.
And you can go to Greg's now.
And Wenzel's has survived.
And Wenzel's thrived, actually, during this lockdown, I swear.
And now I'm able to travel to Wenzel's.
Exactly. It's not worth it. But
that was once illegal.
Well, it was, yes.
Isn't that mad? Like, just to think of it now. I know it was like 2 minutes ago, but like, it was illegal to drive too far.
But is it one of those things you think that was so intense that the idea of it not being a thing anymore therefore makes it feel like it was longer ago? Like, even if it ended yesterday, it would feel like, wow, that's crazy. It's so different to the life I'm living now. It makes it feel like more distant in the past.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing was I really like adopted everything so quickly. I like, we were sent home from work almost, I mean, this is not what I'm grateful for, but we were sent home from work immediately, like before even the lockdown began. This all happened so quickly. Monday, I went in, not TMI because I'm just going for it, to have my coil removed. We're talking manual, you guys don't appreciate. It's like a full hand, no pain relief. I felt like there should have been another human in the room after she'd finished. It was horrific. Anyway, did this thing, no mask. I'm in the hospital. Walked past a COVID testing like tent thing when I went into the hospital. The nurse and the doctor that I was talking to were both like, oh, I don't know. Like, it seems like nonsense to me. That Friday, we were in lockdown.
I think hard times and hard times, but also unprecedented times, as is a buzz phrase of the past few years, really drove me to kind of have a fresh perspective on how to live your life, not necessarily on the way that life runs, but like what, well, this one's actually really similar to my third one, so I might as well say they're both the same thing. Maybe I'm only grateful for two things on this list, but it's kind of,
I wonder why you've stopped doing the podcast, Sean.
We've run out of things. You're gratituded out. That's what
I am all out of it. No, realizing then what's important to me. I mean, the point I'd had kind of differentiated them as being different, which was one was a fresh perspective on how life is lived and what's in, like, you know, how creating meaning and looking at situations with a different fresh pair of glasses. But the other one I was going to say was literally realizing what's important to me value wise, what I want to surround myself with. And they're basically the same thing. But I would say that kind of, it's such an obvious thing that a lot of people feel like. I never really believed that at the end of the pandemic, the world would change. And I don't necessarily think it has in an obvious way, but I think in many subtle ways, it's really interestingly to me at exactly the same time made us closer to one another and somehow also more individual from one another. I feel like I've never felt closer to other people, really, or never felt more like a shared lived experience in my whole life than like the first lockdown. I feel like, which is insane because none of us were together, but I feel like it was the first time in my life anyway that everyone was doing exactly the same thing. And for a month or so in the middle there, everyone on the entire planet, but pretty much, was doing exactly the same thing. We were all sat inside our houses and had the same kind of rose-tinted initial experience of it. And then going back to what you'd said, Kyle, about what you were grateful about the world opening up, is I feel like when the world opened up and then we all kind of forget about our own lives, and we were saying about the homes at the beginning and stuff and everyone feeling like, oh wow, I get to live my life now without constantly being watched by someone, I feel like the connection to others hasn't gone away, but I also feel like I've established myself more as an individual at the same time, and somehow they coexist. And I think if anything, that's been a really fruitful lesson to have learned, and I'm grateful to have learned it at this end of my life. I think it's given me like a nice launch pad into adulthood, maybe, is being able to balance those two feelings and experiences at the same time. I hope that made sense.
I would love to like fast forward and meet the Sean in his 40s, because whenever we've had a conversation, you are so like self-aware and constantly like examining, you know, this is where I am in my life. And how old are you, Sean?
23
years old.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is.
Well, it's actually also a curse. I mean, you make it sound like a blessing. It's also actually a bit of a curse, because for as much as you can analyze how joyous it is to have become this person, sometimes you can easily deeply analyze how horrible it is to have become this person and see it with far too much clarity.
What you are doing in both of those moments, though, is my second actual gratitude one. You're living in the here and now. like you really are, like you're taking the moment, you're examining the situation that you're in, you're feeling the thoughts, you're feeling the feelings, you're examining that. It's a real skill. Like, and in terms of my gratitude for living in here and now is really, and without going sounding too hippie slash like almost ethereal, like I really had a connection within the pandemic about mindfulness and about trying not to panic, trying not to think too far ahead and catastrophizing everything. And living in the here and now and practicing mindfulness techniques has really, really helped me to not have those spiraling thoughts of, mm-hmm. but what if this, but what if that, but what's going to happen tomorrow? Because we had no choice but to live in the here and now, because our world became so small. All you were left with what was around you tangibly. You couldn't plan too far ahead. And many people would have absolutely struggled with that, but for me it brought an inner clarity, and I'm really grateful for that, forcing my hand on a skill that I didn't have pre-pandemic.
Mm. I think for both of pretty much what you've both said, it just kind of puts into focus that during the pandemic, whereas the rest of the time your whole being and your life is generally built around your own circumstances and the people. They say, like, you're a sum of the people you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. In the pandemic, that was mostly you. Like, you were on your own, or you were with yourself, or even if it's just in your own mind, because you just, like, what is going on, more than ever before. And I think so many people, it also probably goes back to what you were saying about so many couples breaking up after the pandemic. Mm. It's not necessarily, you know, that the pandemic broke them up. It's just that we learned who we were. And like for you, you know, 10 years earlier, you're not the same person. And as they say, if you don't grow together, then you grow apart. And especially in the pandemic, so many of us learned so much about who we were, what we actually cared about. Some people, you know, took on courses that they didn't think that they cared about before, because there was so much social change in the pandemic that they were like, oh my God, you know, I didn't realize this was a thing. And I feel very strongly about this. And maybe my partner doesn't feel very strongly about this. We all kind of just maybe just learned. Maybe we just met ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, that's deep. That is deep.
I felt like I faced that with such, like it really hit me in the face at some point during this pandemic, the amount of change that can happen to you, especially over this period, you know, as much you've changed over 10 years, as you were saying at the beginning, Simon, maybe you've changed especially over the past two, because you've lived 10 years in the past too. Mm. And I completely get that. What was alienating to me was that I felt, I think before the pandemic, I thought I was more, not necessarily independent, but more aware of myself, I suppose, than I actually was. I think it's because I did a lot on my own and I felt like I really enjoyed my own company. I think maybe I didn't really know, I was maybe not as aware of myself as I thought I was, because then when the pandemic came in and I felt like I was isolated quite aggressively, it became really difficult to come to terms with like the purpose of myself or what I'm, who I am, or thinking about it more than you normally would as a person, obviously, because we had far too much time to think. What became weird then was that at the same kind of time as I felt like the pandemic was changing me as a person and my life was changing and I was growing and all these things that were too much to try and comprehend, I then started in the relationship that I'm now in, right? And because of the time we were forced together, as you said, at the end of these, or, you know, in your circumstance at the end of these relationships, but a long time in, it's a real testing point. For us, it was a brilliant starting point, because for a long time we were forced to, like, you know, during the midst of these lockdowns, it was like, we don't see each other maybe for 6 months, or we essentially live together. So we did the essentially living together because we thought, fuck it, we've only been together a few months. If it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. Ended up working really well, and therefore knowing each other implicitly and knowing so much more about myself. But what the part that was alienating there was, he only knows the person that I am this side of the pandemic, because I was growing into becoming this person at the time. And what was alienating for quite a good chunk of last year, especially when I really felt like, you know, maybe the transition, you know, when the COVID was kind of passing, the lockdowns, and we were coming to an end of it, was kind of being, how do I say it, inside maybe slightly still feeling like the person you once were, while the person you're spending all your time with is looking at you like the person you're becoming. And it was quite, I felt quite disjointed in that for a while. Now I think I've come completely to terms to it. And I feel like I've settled into whoever I am now, whoever that may well be, compared to who I was before. But the idea of getting here, as we were saying about moving out, the bridge was so big in my head of having to move forward into this part of your life, like having to even being in a relationship to me was a crazy thought pre-pandemic. Like the idea of how much as a person I might change if I weren't so on my own all the time, or having to consider other people and things like that. I've got used to it now, but it was really difficult, I think, to go on that journey of mindfulness, of recognizing why I'm doing what I'm doing, who I am, and taking each day at a time and realizing that I can only really wake up and think about today. And if I think about it any further than that, I didn't realize beforehand how much I was like cutting off my own existence. I mean, it was easier when I went to school because you knew what you were doing next July because you were going to be in school on that day of the week, which might sound like a weird thing to think, but I used to be able to think ahead like that. Whereas then when you come onto actual adult life, you know, I don't know, I could do something completely different could happen next month. I mean, February 2020, I had no idea what was going to happen by the end of March 2020, did I? So, and you're very aware of that now. I'm becoming accepting of that, I think, and being okay with the fact that like, anything could happen at any moment, I think is really interesting. Well,
again, going back to what we were saying before, it feels like you've lived like a really long life in a really condensed amount of time. And I saw something the other day that's kind of relevant to this, that was something along the lines of the friends that like in your 40s, the friends that you've had, your old friends, are the most valuable because they've known every version of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like they know who you've always been, like all of the different versions of Sean. By the time you're in that life phase, it will be more important. Those people not only know who you are right now and who you've become, but they know who you were. And so for you, this was something where you were struggling with, the person that I love doesn't know all of me because I feel like I still got one foot in this person he's never met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those old friends, like you say, those ones have already proven that they're adapted to the changes within you because you will have gone through several life stages already with them. So they will, you know, if they've proven that they can get through the old version, in my case of Simon and who I am now, in many, many changes within my life, in many, many versions of myself, in many, many second and third and fourth album covers, you know, those sorts of things, to bring it back to that, that, you know, my last gratitude is old friends. It's those friends that you lose touch with, but you aren't, when you pick back up again, it's almost like you've always cared and you've always been there for one another. And there were people that I hadn't heard from for a long time during the pandemic who took the opportunity to reach out and say, how are you coping? How are you doing? Like we had so little to do a lot of the time. You know, you got that space in your life because life wasn't that treadmill of constant busyness to reconnect again. And I've carried them out of the other side of the pandemic. Those old friends who were with me before my recent, you know, my most recent relationship before, you know, the job that I'm in now, before, they were always there, and they're still there now, and I really appreciate that they have stood the test of time. They had far too much time to think, and they thought about me. I had far too much time to drink a bottle of Baileys a night at one point, but that's a different story.
Didn't we all? See, yeah. I love that though, because especially with the phase that you're in right now, you know, post most recent relationship, you know, I do have only the one school friend to kind of go back to when I think of this, but when I see him again, because it's so rare that we see each other you know, in life now, because we just live so completely different lives and in completely different places, if ever we meet up, I'm 16 again. Because he doesn't really know the me I am now. And I don't really know the him he is now. We don't live in each other's worlds anymore. And so whenever we're together, we live in the world we lived in together.
Mm. And that's a positive.
Does that mean we prefer that? We prefer
it's,
the old
it's
version
a fun escape.
Yeah. It's, oh, it is an escape.
Because you're just living in that moment. It was almost impossible for me to meet up with him and someone who knows me now.
Yes, because you couldn't mix those two worlds.
It is correct, because it's almost like a regression, and this other person is then like, who are you? Whereas if I met up with him and was me as I am now, it's not conscious that I do it, but I know that it happens. It's just like giddy silliness that you just become that person that you knew. And I'm sure he's a completely different person with the people he knows now, but with me, he's 16 again.
Hey, thank God that we get the chance then to also it's up again the back catalogue of your albums. I keep coming back to it, but thank goodness we don't have to just listen to, you know, Madonna's latest album. We've still got True Blue. Like, we've still got all of the back catalogue. You know, thank goodness we can revisit those moments and feel those feelings again. In the same time, we meet up with old friends, like we listen to an old familiar song that used to be a classic. It used to be one.
You listen to a full album that you listened to when you were a teenager, and you're there.
Takes you back.
There are so many albums. Yeah, there are ones from even like the lockdowns of these past years. Like, there was a few. There was Golden Hour by Kacey Musgraves was like my obsession in the first lockdown, and then in the second lockdown I was obsessed with an album called Ungodly Hour by Chloe and Halle. Really random albums. I don't even, they just came out at the time and I loved them. And the same with What's Your Pleasure by Jessie Ware. All albums that came out at the time, but I listened to them so obsessively in moments of like difficulty during COVID that now I really have to be conscious of when going back to them, because as soon as the song starts playing I'm like, oh god, I can remember exactly how I felt listening to that one. It's really triggering, sometimes in a nice way, sometimes in a different one. Just trying to fabulize what you've just said though about going back into past versions. Really random link this is, but it's the same theme. There's a show on
Apple. It's not a Wenzel's, is it?
No, it's not a There's a show on Apple TV Plus called Severance, right?
I started watching that.
Oh my god. Everyone should watch it, by the way. Literally the best show I've watched maybe in all of my life. Like, genuinely one of the best things ever. Anyway, the concept behind this show is you have your memories split between, you're a different person when you're at work, a different person at home, in theory, because your memories are split. You can only remember work when you're at work, you don't remember home when you're at home, but you still have basic cognitive reasoning. That's the basic summary of what happens in the show.
But you're a different person completely though, because you've actually, you legitimately, you leave work and you have zero memory of what happened at work.
That's exactly the point, is that you're a different person in the show because you have no memory of what's come before. And I read a really good essay thing, and that had a YouTube video component to it that was talking about the importance of memory and how at the end of the day, that's all we are. When you really stop and think about it, is we are all the memories that came before. And even when you think about it literally, like, we aren't, like, what us recording this podcast in theory is a constant memory, because we started this podcast in memory. Like, you know, it wasn't in the second, because that was about an hour ago we started doing this. So
yeah,
so everything's a memory of what you have. And you saying there about being able to go back to those memories is so important. And us saying about becoming different people. At the end of the day, we're like a Jenga tower of memories. And that's all that ends up being. And it's nice to be able to tap back into those other parts. But we are just an amalgamation of all of those things. And there's no real overthinking about it more than that. You're just whatever shape those memories end up taking is what we end up being now, I feel.
And you just can hope those memories are mainly enjoyable ones to revisit.
Preferably.
But even if they're not, because surely on that track, then our relationships are our shared memories.
That's true. They're the bridges that go out to the other Jenga towers.
Gosh, we got so deep, guys. I need a drink.
I mean, it's nearly time. Yeah. Each of you, to me, you are to me only really Zoom calls.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who you are in your lives. I know who you are in the conversations that we've had. Mm-hmm. In our shared experience. Right.
And you know what's even weirder though, Kyla, is that because you post so many like vlogs of your life online, and I've watched them for years and still do, I know so much about your life. but that's kind of weird when you think about it. Like, I know infinitely more about your life than you know about mine, because you've shared it online. And there are loads of other people that you've never even spoken to that know that much about your life. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. If you think too much about that, you'd be like,
that's down.
Yeah, it is.
It's because I suppose that it then is a relationship of shared memories, because then I go see my friend Paul, and our shared memories ended when we were teenagers.
Well, do you want to know what's going back to the YouTube comment? Do you know what's even weirder, Kyla? Is if you think about shared memories, is that you've done things like build a bar in the shed in your garden, and that's a memory for you because you built it, but I can remember watching it in my house and it being a different memory, like while I was eating my lunch. So it's like you doing that is a memory in my head. Of watching
it's
you
like
having
a partial
done it.
Partial shared memory.
Yeah, that's it's not my memory, but like watching that moment is, I can remember having watched that moment, which is very strange when you think about the internet and how being online works 100%.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you have to be comfortable with going back and revisiting that time though. So, because I took the Break a Legos channel down, you know, when the relationship ended, and it's still down now. And that's because I couldn't face it at the time. I needed to process that was a past life and put that to bed somehow. And it felt symbolic to shelf it until I'm at the point where I can revisit it. Because like I say, some of it can be quite triggering. Not every memory is positive, but you know, in those moments, I think I need to have more of an appreciation now of in those moments, those times were good and we did the right things for the right reasons.
I think the one thing you're saying about the internet, the one thing that's difficult with memories in the internet, I found, especially in the first lockdown, and when this transitional period in our lives was happening, I felt this obsessive need to remove so much of my past off of social media. I really felt very strange that Instagram's a good example, right? I used to have maybe nearly 2,000 posts on Instagram, and there's probably now about 70 because I've removed a hell of a lot of them. I found it very strange that something I did and posted 5 years ago sits alongside what's happening right this second. It felt too much of a, like a literal juxtaposition of my existence. And I didn't quite like the fact that it was physicalized. I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, but again, I think, not to keep, you know, harping on, but I think that's an age thing, because I wouldn't want my 18-year-old thoughts on the internet right now.
No. Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, I suppose that is true. But
The difference is so, so massive for you in 5 years. The difference in my opinions of the world in 5 years is not going to be anywhere near as drastic as it is for you. So that makes complete sense.
Yeah, it was similar. If you're on Twitter, you could search the word like fish, let's say, and I could have tweeted about fish today, and I could have tweeted about fish when I was 13, and they could sit literally alongside one another as being attributed to my name. And you know, when you're like, I actually sometimes just want things that have you put out into the world to die. Like, I wish it was like almost like how Snapchat, isn't it, that like dies after 24 hours. I sometimes wish social media was all like that it just vanished. Like stories, that's like, you know, like when you put like a story up on Instagram, I feel like the footprint of it sometimes drags on.
I couldn't be more happy to not have lived a teenage life with social media.
It was interesting. I agree.
It was very interesting. But I'm thankful I managed to scrub a lot of the embarrassment off the internet. But it was more silly embarrassment as opposed to, you know, like actually incriminating. It just was like cringy. But it was interesting that, you know, at the time when, you know, I got Twitter when Twitter first was a thing. But at that time I was, I don't know, under the age of, you could be, maybe 11. So that's kind of weird. So that, like, I just had, you know, if you search around, I've definitely found past accounts of mine on Twitter that, like, I could never have deleted and now never can. And it's like, oh, hope no one finds out, because that's just embarrassing because I'm like 12 years old.
But you say, like, because at 11, 12, whatever, you just don't have the you know, you can't play the tape to the end to know how this goes. So I've said to my daughter so many times, you know, listen, here's why this is important. What you send to someone, what you know, you don't know what someone's going to screenshot and put somewhere else. You, as soon as you've sent something to anyone, it's not yours anymore. They can choose to post that wherever, anything. And I do think that if I'd been a teenager in the age of camera phones and Facebook and message, Jesus, Snapchat, the horror, the absolute terrifying horror, because you do things, you know, that you regret, and usually you live to tell the tale. But in this day and age, you need to be so switched on to, you can't make a mistake.
And that's it. Thank goodness that we've, in a lot of senses, going back to my point one, thank God we do get an opportunity to wipe the slate clean in so many areas, you know, but in other areas with social media, it's, and with your life being captured, you know, in your case, in your vlogs, you know, in my case, in my reviews and my thoughts and opinions at the time about things, those things can come back and haunt you, and then we can never escape our past.
Going back to what you were saying, Simon, I don't know what I would have done if I'd been vlogging with my ex-husband, because I know some of the comments that I'd had over the years. I often thought, you know, if anything happened, I mean, it's so horrific, but people used to be so awful when in the early days that I used to think, you know, if I had a pregnancy that wasn't successful, I'm going to have to not do this anymore, because I just thought, I'm not going to be able to continue with that kind of cloud. I mean, obviously that's like the absolute worst, but I also thought in the back of my mind, if something happened with my relationship, I'd have to stop like everything, because I would never have that conversation, have to discuss, because it was such a massive part at that point of everything that I did on the internet. So I completely understand where you're coming from in that you didn't really know how to, you know, am I going to continue this? Do I end it and start all over again?
I think having some headspace has been great. You know, don't make that decision. I've made the decision to take the channel off temporarily whilst I had that conversation with myself, yeah. You know, and I've been grateful for having the autonomy to do that, you know, because ultimately it was a shared venture. But luckily enough, I've been given the rights to take that on and to do what I want with it and just have some space from it has really helped.
Yeah, I think the way that you dealt with it was really good, with like bringing the lights down and saying that, you know, it. Mm-hmm. But left it open. It wasn't an end necessarily, but it left it open to come back as and when you'd had time to process, and then you can bring it back.
Be something a bit different, you know, but I wanted to, you know, we worked so hard on the brand, and we'd worked so hard on that reputation and building a community ultimately of regular people that wanted, and I don't want to leave them behind, although I'm leaving the relationship behind. But when it does come back, you know, I wanted to make people say that that's the end of a chapter. And if it comes back, it might be something different. It might be the sequel is going to look a little bit different. It's going to feel a bit different. It's a new story, but stick with us because I'm still me, you know.
It's difficult, I suppose, when you're tied to like an online brand. You both have had this problem, actually, when thinking about Kyla, when you were like Miss Budget Beauty and you were trying to break away from kind of the person you'd built, and the same way with now you, Simon, like building up this thing, which was a co thing, and now it not being that. I suppose maybe as we live on the internet longer and these kind of personas exist for longer, maybe it should be like how we are as humans, which is that like they evolve too. Like they don't, you know, if you're invested
like Madonna.
In this. Exactly.
Like Madonna's Madonna. Albums, they all sound so different.
You're going to bring back a Madden X.
Exactly. So I think, yeah, maybe that's where the energy comes from. But it's a little bit like when you describe it like that, it's like the decision of whether you remove photo. You know how people like when they break up and they think about whether should they remove photographs offline with their ex and things like that. It's the same thing as like, where does this memory exist? Like, is this memory important as a physical item? Like, should it still be a video that's up online or a photo that's up online? Or should it just be in my head? Like, is that how it should exist? And the answer is different for loads of different people. And it just, I think, then depends on where you feel comfortable and how the situation.
I think happy memories can exist and continue to exist. But if it was me, because I mean, you know, we all do it. If someone split up, you immediately go to their Instagram page and be like, have they deleted every picture?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating. It's very telling, I think, of not only the person, but how that relationship ended. Because you're looking for clues. We're all interested.
Yeah.
For me, I think if you look back at that picture and you think that was a happy moment, you leave it. If you look back at that picture and you're like, we took that picture and then we immediately had an argument, I take that picture down. Mm-hmm. If it still has a happy feeling attached to it, that happy feeling was real. That still exists.
I feel like this is your next podcast after this is concluded, Sean. This like the power of memory and deletion of memory. It's all like the Eternal Sunset of the Spotless Mind, whatever it was
called. Yeah.
Like, let's delete our memories.
I watched that this week.
Like Vanilla Sky, on a memory. We could go in like the invented memories route as well. The memories we've told ourselves the truth for so long that you're like, did that even happen?
Get thinking about the structure for the podcast, Sean. People want to know what you think.
You're gonna be writing a play soon. Stop it.
Yes, do it.
Kyla, why don't we move on to your final one? Because I think that's a really nice one to round off on, and one that's gonna sprout some good points of conversation. Because you are such a stimulating conversationalist, of course.
You know it. So my final one was just freedom for my current phase of life, or freedom that my current phase of life has afforded me, I suppose. And this, I think, really does come to the gratitude for me. It's the thing that often will say, oh, well, when we've this or when we've that. Like I often say to my husband, we'll see something and he'll say, well, it's this or it's that. And I say, oh, you know, if you were minted, you could do this. And he says, I think we're all right. And I think I have a real hard time with like accepting that I wanted a particular kind of car recently. And I said, it was only a Mercedes. I say only a Mercedes, but that's capable to say only a Mercedes. Bear in mind, I drive a Suzuki. Love my car, but it was like, it was a really big deal to get this car that was mine. And it was a big deal. And I said, you know, when I finish paying for this car, I'd maybe quite like to get a Mercedes. And I said, but I can't bring myself to do it because it's a bit of a, who does she think she is?
Oh, society again, look at us, like making decisions based on that pressure.
Completely. And my husband said to me, you're not as young as you think you are. And I said, you know what? This is totally true because my mind, I'm still 25 and you're like, who does she think she is?
Buying tough this, love, whatever. That is tough love.
I know. who does she think she is, having this kind of holiday or having this disposable income or having this life? And I think if someone's 40, which is my next big milestone, if someone's 40, then you look at that differently. And I'm like, do you know what? Maybe I'll give myself a break a little bit. And
you've earned it.
Exactly. I think that's how we see people once they're in the 40s. We don't have that same judgment. And so I am grateful for my current phase of life, for the, you know, financial freedom that I've got because of the phase that I'm in, because I am older, and because my children are older. So they kind of just, you know, look after themselves. And the oldest one can look after the youngest one, and my husband and I can go out for dinner, and it's pretty fantastic.
That's lovely. Oh, I'm so pleased. Like, I'm so pleased. That's aspirational for me now, approaching 40. I'd love to be in that position again. That would be lovely.
Yeah, but you didn't start when you were like 18.
That's very true. I was a mess when I was... I was definitely, I wasn't very attractive proposition when I was 18. I was a mess. I really was a mess. But no, that's lovely that to know that that's that, you know, they do say life begins at 40, don't they? Do you know what? Sorry, Sean, maybe they're onto something. You got a bit of a weight.
Oh my God. By the time Sean's 40, he's going to be like, I feel like you're going to be like a Sondheim or something.
Yeah, I can't wait. Be like,
I knew him when.
Yeah, I can't wait, Sean. I can't wait till you're 40. Please let us have this conversation again. We can still meet up on
Zoom. We can still have rambling conversation about Wenzel's on Zoom when I'm 40. I'll be fine.
Good.
Mm-hmm. As long as I have Zoom in the care homes, guys, then I'm sure we'll be okay.
By the time you're 40, you'll be able to bring back Wenzel's with your enormous wealth.
Yes.
From all the plays that you've written that have been incredibly successful.
I actually would probably use my wealth to take down Wenzel's. I hope that.
Oh, the spite.
Thank you both of you for talking with me. I've really enjoyed unpacking it with you, and it's been a nice way to round out the podcast for sure.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have become a different person with you on this podcast, because, you know, even since the last one, I think we can appreciate how much we've all changed.
Well, I think it's been wonderful for me to have discovered more about myself while talking with people about themselves, and actually provoking thoughts and conversations in my head. And hopefully that's something that people listening have also got out of this experience, which is listening to other people talk and making it ask them some questions that have opened new doors to parts of their personality.
Do you know what it kind of reminds me of? You know that Instagram trend where it's like, I'm Sean and this is my first drink. And it's like, I'm Sean and this is my last drink.
And this is my last podcast, and this is who I
became. You will be a completely different person from the first episode.
You're so right. That is true. Oh, that's a nice one to end on. Well, thank you, both of you. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Peace and love. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Bye-bye.